You'd be surprised to know that some of the most successful women of our time face challenges just like you and I do.
Hi, I'm Amber.
And I'm Lisa. We're authors of the book Leading Ladies, Discover Your God-Grown Strategy for Success.
We invite you to join us in an honest, messy bun conversation about the things we'd rather keep hidden in our lives.
Some of those things can keep us from moving forward in purpose.
So grab a cup of something delicious, kick off your shoes, and hang out with us for the next 30 minutes. Welcome to another coffee chat with Amber and Lisa. We are excited to be with you today. It's been a crazy week. As usual, I always say it's a crazy week, Lisa. I need to find a new word.
Well, but you do live life at an insane pace. So you're just being honest.
I'm just going to be totally honest. Yes. It is really hard. Just in general, I know I operate at a million miles a minute and I have medication for that. So I'd hate to see what I would live life like if I didn't have medication for that.
You know, that whole jumping into things, both feet. Yeah. As it is, that happens. And I have to say often, Amber, hold up. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I've learned to be resilient. There's a reason I have some extra curve on me. That's my bounce back resilience.
Right.
I need the padding, Lisa. I need the padding.
Right. I understand.
Well, we have a more of an introspective discussion and we're going to be airing our dirty laundry. Have you ever said anything bad about a perceived competitor? Have you ever said anything bad about someone who you thought kind of had an edge over what you were doing? Or
maybe you felt like they were a bit of a threat?
I know that this hits home for both of us.
And when you said that, I went, yeah, I guess maybe we have. We've probably all done that.
Yeah.
We've probably all done that and disguised it in some conversation so that it didn't sound like purgatory or gossip.
Have you ever disguised criticism of a person as a prayer request? God, I want to bring this to you. I want to bring my trouble with Tanya to you. She's being very critical of me today.
And she would never do that.
No. She would never do that.
We're just doing that as an illustration. Tanya Ween, talking about you, my son.
But I think a lot of interactions like that, we do get in moments like this, and it's often hard to kind of reel that back and to realize that we kind of need an attitude check of our own. So in moving towards purpose, we all have that competitive streak. And I know that it's hard to keep in check. Why do you think we do that? What pushes you into a moment that you criticize a competitor? And I have you name names.
I won't name names. In just trying to evaluate what does really push your heart to feel the need to go there, usually there's a feeling of desperation. Maybe we feel like someone's going to beat us to the punch. Someone's going to outperform us. Someone's going to steal our idea. And there ain't enough of our idea to spread around. It's the only unique and individual thought we have. And so, of course, we don't want anybody to land on it. It's really funny because when you say those things out loud, they sound really silly. Because if we believe that we are each uniquely designed by our creator and endowed with gifts that we might walk in whatever calling he puts on our life, and if we also recognize that old term, there's nothing new under the sun, there will be many times that our calling, our purpose, what we're doing will be very similar to what someone else is doing. And to feel threatened or like someone's going to beat us, it is absurd. And it's not from God to look at things that way. It's one more way that I believe the enemy keeps us stuck.
Yeah, I do.
And when you really feel that way, if you have a conscience as a child of God, we're hopefully listening to the voice of the Father, listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I have felt guilty, like so shamed for my bad behavior. Lord, yeah. Forgive me. I know that's not from you. Yeah, we all do it or have moments of thoughts that we're just like, that's not what God wants us to walk in.
Right. I know that there is this perception, get ahead, stay ahead, climb the ladder, step on people while you're getting there. Sometimes I think the proper word is being ruthless. Sometimes we can be
ruthless. That's a big word.
And it's hard to quell that nature. I know over the past few weeks, I have had pretty much the premise to our book kind of read back to me in different ways. And I'm like, I hope you don't write a book about that. Or I've seen a book that's kind of in that vein.
I've seen multiple books.
And all of a sudden you're kind of like, really, my idea. And that's a hard thing to come up against. And I think I've tried to take those observations in my mind and see that it's more a confirmation of where we're going instead of competition, you know, because God gives the same word to a lot of people. I mean, that's the nature of the Bible. He repeats himself a lot, even in one book. But we can get bent out by our perceived competitors. I know you'll find a million books on prayer, but you will always have a different perspective on prayer. Now, exactly. You might say the same things, but I tell you what, I can't imagine what it would be like to go into a bookstore and realize your book on prayer was pulled off the shelf. And now a prominent prayer person has not only your concept, but your cover. It feels really bad. I know that that happened. I'm not naming names, but I know that that's happened. That it almost feels like a kick in the gut to see that. How do we quell competition?
When I find myself just having thoughts that are just simply, they don't come from the Spirit of Christ. They don't come from love. I have to remind myself that love is a verb. It's an action. It's something I choose to do. And sometimes it's as simple as, you know, out there we would say, oh, it's mind over matter. I think within a Christian lifestyle, it's called by faith, embracing those things that aren't as though they are. We may not be feeling it in our heart, but we have to embrace by faith, loving, recognizing that love believes the best. I was just looking at the scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. If we really believe that, and we believe we are supposed to be an instrument of God's love, then we have to fight being unlovely with godly fire. We have to turn it around and we have to make a choice. You said something really strong earlier where you said, I have to see it as confirmation. As quick as we sent our manuscript, I walked right into my Sunday morning services with my pastor, who really is not a fly on the wall of my life, preaching the sermon of this book over and over again. It's been going months now, and almost every week he reconfirms through what my pastor has taught some of the truths we found as we've researched and worked with these amazing women. As well, I just went to a Jackie Hill Perry conference. Oh, she's amazing. She did the same thing.
I know.
I have to say, instead of feeling like, oh no, somebody is getting the message out too. Oh no. Instead of just like, we must be on the right track that we're supposed to be hearing right now in the church.
Yeah. You cannot hold truth in your pocket as a marketable piece that's only going to come out when your book sells. Because you know what? The truth is out there. It's being shared, and you have a placement and a group of influence that you're meant to connect with. Not everyone's going to connect on a personal level with everyone. It's impossible. We're two people. We probably can't even connect with everyone who, you know, might read this book. It's my hope. But at the same time, we know that not everyone in the world is going to know us, is going to pick up this book. And there's probably going to be a book next year that's very similar.
You have to make a choice. Are you going to play that game with people and have your internal life be in conflict with people all the time, trying to outscore? Am I going to do that? Or am I going to walk in the peace and understanding that what God has called me to do is for me? And the people that will connect with me because of my style of communication, your style of communication, those are the people that need to connect with the message. We have an opportunity to just be ourselves in that. Whereas there's absolutely nothing wrong with God connecting with someone else who says the same message, because they're going to be able to say it in a way that would never attract some of the people we would talk to.
We used to hold dear somebody replicating our style because they admire our work. Mm-hmm. I know that there's different reasons for that. I know that sometimes we'll go to the bestseller list and see what books are selling and see what they look like, look at their covers, try to replicate that. And I know that's a hard place to be because you feel like, oh, well, that's just copycat. And I understand that place. But I do look at different styles and treatments. I admire art and how it's done. And I try to kind of grasp that feeling. Now, I don't want to replicate book covers. Some people take advantage of that. I agree. You know, we should be respectful as creators, as purpose-driven creators, not to try to just copy something because it's popular and just photocopy. God isn't into photocopying. He's into unique creation. That's why he's created us to be individual beings. But I also get it. You're going to have similarities to someone out there. And instead of kind of kicking back, maybe we should see that as our posse. I love it when you get into a group of women and you find out you vibe on some area, like especially in mental health circles. I get into group of ladies that they're talking about mental health or they're writing about mental health. And I'm like, that's exactly what I was thinking. I get energized by that. Now, sometimes if you're reading your proposal and someone replicates that, that feels bad. That's really does feel bad. And I think that's a matter of respect. But at the same time, it's really about gelling in our creative minds a message that our one true God has given us to communicate.
We can kind of veer into this the wrong way as when we become so uptight with what's happening that we decide we're going to get them before they get us. We turn into a very disgruntled, unhappy, and harmful individual. We've talked to some of these women that we have put within the pages of the book, and there is such a thing as that mean girl mentality. And a lot of it has to do with, it doesn't really matter who you step on or who you hurt. I remember Carrie, her chapter talks about getting into the comedy club scene. Here's this believer who, in order to succeed, you had to be hurtful to other people, you know, get in the zinger comment that's going to cut to the core and hurt someone deeply in your comedy routine, or even getting into this, let's claw our way to the top mentality. She talks about how she wasn't about to join that crowd. It may take her longer to get where she wants to go. The cost may be different than for some who were willing to be cutthroat, but God has been able to bless, mm-hmm. she does in an amazing way.
This critical mind to others can actually be the thing that squelches you in purpose.
Exactly.
And we don't want any of those strongholds. God doesn't want us to be bound by these things. The one thing I found unique, you said exactly, the market says you should do this to get ahead.
Right.
The business world says, girls, we should be the B word to get where we need to be. But there are businesses that go against the norm, and right. God has blessed.
We either become those hard people with cunning minds that slash other people off the trail we're on. And we might even go so far as to make sure there's some obstacles behind them that they can't get past. You know, we have a tendency to do things like that too. We don't have to be that way. My husband, he has often said to me when there have been difficult moments in life where I just didn't understand how maybe someone could do this, that, or the other, or how they could feel the way they felt about me. He's always said to me, you know, sometimes we project what we're really thinking in our head onto someone else to make ourselves feel better about our approach in a situation.
Exactly.
We project what we might do when the rubber meets the road on someone else to help yeah. disqualify them.
Yeah.
And they really haven't done those things at all. It's a sad thing when we do that.
And there's a difference between looking at the way someone does something and maybe you learning from that and right. adjusting it, learning from other people's missteps. That's beautiful. You don't have to tell 20 of your friends about it. God is in the building business. And sometimes the deconstruction he's doing is not of everybody you know. He's pulling apart the things that are loose bits, sweeping them in us. So the change needs to happen in us, not everybody else around us. Because as he does the building in us, we will have that understanding actually to see why people do what they do, because we've all been there. It's a significant issue when we're always getting our foot stepped on when someone else does what we do. And when you feel that step on your toe, you need to kind of ask yourself, okay, why am I feeling this?
Exactly.
And what do I do with this feeling?
Sometimes in the process, you find out maybe there is a valid reason, especially if that relationship you're in is important. They all should be important for us to live honorable lives, but especially if that relationship is with someone that you value. So maybe it's time for a deep conversation. It mm-hmm. may not always be about you, but you should always be willing to check yourself first.
Yeah. I think when you open yourself up to critique, sometimes you can get those harmful, hurtful comments. I'm sure that we've all experienced that. When I read some of the comments in YouTube, I'm mortified that people feel comfortable of putting those down. And that actually gives me a new perspective on, okay, should I be saying what I'm saying to others based on what I would find very offensive or hurtful.
You have to always take it to yourself first. You could be really touchy. Perhaps you are triggered, or perhaps they are triggered. We use that word a lot. Perhaps they're a little too sensitive. Whatever the reasoning is, that always gives you insight into how you could present in a different way.
Having the attitude of how I will be received when I communicate something is important. If I communicate something and someone thinks I am actually a critical person, I just really have to think before I talk sometimes. I can say a lot of hurtful things and not even know the words that are coming out of my mouth. Yeah. That is huge awareness of words. We're word people. even more so when you went through even the book and how people communicated some stuff, we had to say, okay, is this going to be taken wrong to this person who's reading this? And I know that there's probably statements that aren't going to be taken right, but that sensitivity to not having that right communication and spirit can also be something that we have to reevaluate once in a while.
Or maybe it was simply the contributors did a interview and perhaps some of what they said could have been misconstrued. So rather than just putting it out there, go back to the person. Can you round out this idea for me? Can you tell me what exactly made you feel this way? And then what would you do in this situation? And sometimes when that was all rounded out, it gave us a better understanding of what they were saying. And we could make sure it was edited properly.
Yeah. Right?
Instead of just falling.
You know, and it's not necessarily that exactly what people say is what they mean, because there's a lot of miscommunication. The speed of communication has entered, opened the door for a lot of miscommunication, especially in how we shoot text to people. They can't hear your inflections. It is hard because communication is important, but sometimes we have to look at the heart, which our communication comes from.
It all comes back to the heart. And especially when you know someone, you know their heart. Once again, if we love them and we know they love us, love believes the best, hopes. And that is what we need to do. Once again, sometimes that means going back and having a conversation or those people we don't know very well. Even then, sometimes it might be a good idea to have a conversation.
Well, right? Even if we think somebody steps on our toes or replicates what we do, I mean, God says to go to that person and say, was this is the intent? Because he doesn't want relationships to be destroyed. I know that there is a monster in every marketing situation. There is this little monster that says, be the first, have your voice to be heard. We do have to quell that.
And I think sometimes we make assumptions about what motivates other people too. And it's okay to just release people to do what God has called them to do. Just release them to be who they are supposed to be. That's the best thing we can do in those situations. There are often times where others have expectations for me. And I find out after a while that although I've been doing everything to make sure that I was not offensive or with all the right reasons, somehow I have offended. I have to remind myself, I need to be willing to let them go do what they're supposed to do and recognize that I can't in turn do what has been done to me. We kind of hit a lot of ground today. This has been a pretty deep conversation. I have no idea where we are in our time limit, but I'm assuming it's probably about time to wrap up.
I will let you speak to the housekeeping.
Go to the leadingladies.life website. You're going to click that little become a VIP button and you're going to fill that out. When you do that, you'll get the free download of Michaela Weaver's single, Lead Me On. We want you to have that. It's a beautiful song as a gift from us to you just for signing up and becoming a VIP.
And if we want you to make sure that you're on our social, Leading Ladies Life on Facebook, Instagram. We don't know what God's going to do, but we know it's great. And we know that He wants to do the same thing with you. And whatever you feel passionate about, He's just waiting to blow it up. So until next time, this is Amber and Lisa.
Take care. Have a good week.